Want to come up front, have a seat. Oh yeah, we did this. If you've been keeping up, you can sit right here. Just there you go. All right. If you've been keeping up, in Ephesians, doing the armor of God, and we've talked about several pieces of the armor, and this week we are talking about shields. All right, and this is one that Elias made this. Huh? No. This is a costume shield that Elias made when he was cosplaying as Link from Zelda. So this is supposed to be a shield from that he made this. It's kind of falling apart now. He's had it hung up on his wall, but I was looking around for a shield and I saw this on his wall, and I was like, yeah, I'll bring this in. Now, this shield is kind of small for me, right? Like, if I took this into battle, I'd probably still get hit by things, right? A lot of times, I have to move the shield around, you know? But shields protect us, right? What do shields protect us from?
Battle and wars.
Projectiles, things being shot at you or thrown at you. You can hold it up like that. In the Bible, they had shield bearers in the Old Testament, and a lot of times those shield bearers would carry the shield, and they would push people away from you or knock them down so that the people behind them could spear them or stab them. Battle's messy. I would not want, anyway. So the shield protects us from things being thrown at us. So when Paul is talking about the shield of faith, do you guys know what faith is? We've talked about faith a little bit before. Faith is believing, trusting God. When we pick up the shield, we're picking up our faith, but also our faith is in God's faithfulness and God's promises, because when we're talking about this battle that we're in, we're talking about going against the things that Satan's going to be throwing at us. It says in there, the fiery arrows and stuff. So we think about those as being the different lies that Satan throws at us, that when he tries to tell us that we're no good or worthless, or he lies about the society, you know, like, you believe these things and you'll be fine, you know, things like that. That we want to be careful of those types of things. And this shield can protect us from those things. And this shield is small. And a lot of us start off like that, right? We start off with our faith and God being pretty small. And this will protect you a little bit. But the more that God teaches us and helps us grow, our faith can become bigger and bigger. And it can guard more and more of us. And we can stand firm because we know that our faith is in a God and his promises and the things that he teaches us that go against the lies of Satan, and this would protect us and keep us safe from those things, from hitting us. And so that's the shield of faith. Okay, I'm going to turn it over.
Thank you, brother. You know, Ben asked the question, what was a shield for? And I'm thinking, you know, what does it protect us from? And I'm thinking arrows, but Danny says projectiles. And my wife looked over to me and said, he's pretty smart, isn't he? And I think so. We are continuing our series of lessons on prepare for war from Ephesians chapter 6. If you will, please turn your Bibles there. And we're going to be talking about today the shield of faith. The shield of faith. So I want you to follow with me, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Paul says, writing to the Ephesian church, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now today we're looking at the fourth piece of armor of God that we're going to take up. And again, it is the shield of faith. Now my younger brother Johnny and I as kids used to play sword fighting. This is not Johnny and I, but we used to play sword fighting, and we would, you know, make swords out of some, you know, old boards lying around, and then we would, you know, borrow some garbage can lids or whatever we could find to be our shields, you know, much like these boys in the photo. And we could play pirates and Vikings for hours, you know, until one of us was injured the other, you know, and then we would usually stop then. However, if you ask today's generation of kids about a shield, you'd probably hear something about the shield of Captain America, wouldn't we? I mean, that's what they would say. And once started out as a comic book superhero back in 1941 fighting Nazi Germany, has now, you know, over the last few years been on the big screen fighting aliens from other wars alongside the Avengers, okay? So let's bring up the Avengers, if you will, please. And so they're alongside the Avengers, and, you know, and virtually every kid in America knows about Captain America's famous vibranium shield that he uses not only as his defense, but also as a weapon. And he can throw that thing with precision and ricochet off of walls to take out four or five bad guys. In fact, let's take a look at this video. Yeah, okay. Yes, yes. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Apostle Paul didn't have Captain America's vibranium shield in mind when he wrote about God's shield. However, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the shield of faith that we are to take up is far more powerful than Captain America's shield. I mean, the shield of faith is able to fend off the dark forces of evil that Satan uses against us. So Paul, as he had with the other pieces of armor that we studied so far, the combat belt, the breastplate, and the battle shoes, takes the Roman soldier's shield and gives it a spiritual application. But before we really get into what the shield of faith means to the Christian, I want us to better understand what the Roman soldier's shield, how it was able to protect him in battle. Now, the first century Roman soldier had two different kinds of shields. There was the smaller round shield called a parma. And this is a photo of an actual shield along with a replica, of course. But this is a photo of that particular shield. And this shield was the one the Roman soldiers would carry with him daily as they patrolled the city and guarded the Caesar's palace. And it gave them minimal protection and, you know, in relatively safe places. And then there was the long rectangular shield called a scutum. And again, this is a photo of an actual first century Roman soldier scutum shield and the replica of that shield. And this is the battle shield, the one that Paul had in mind. It was around 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long. It was large enough for a soldier to crouch behind it to completely cover his body. And this shield consisted of planks of wood fused together, and it was covered with canvas and then thick pieces of leather. Brass was molded on the outer edges of the shield, and an iron hub was placed in the center. And it gave the soldier adequate protection against his enemy. So Paul wants the Christians to understand that it is our faith that protects us from the attacks of the evil one. Our faith is much like that. So our faith enables us to handle whatever the enemy throws at us, or else we will be destroyed. Again, the passage that Don just quoted a while ago, 1 John 5, verse 4, I believe it's Don, our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So let's talk a little bit more about our faith. Now, faith is a word that is often used synonymously with belief. However, faith and belief are not the same thing, all right? They are not the same thing. The day that we gave our lives to Christ in baptism, we were asked to confess our belief in Jesus as the Son of God. And without belief in God and His Son Jesus, we cannot be saved. In fact, Jesus Himself tells us that in John chapter 3, verse 16, that famous passage of Scripture that we all know, where He said, in fact, let's quote it together, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And so Jesus said that we are to believe in God and believe in His Son before we can have eternal life. And in giving the Great Commission, Jesus also said in Mark's account, in Mark 16, 15 and 16, He says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news." What's the good news? What is it? What's the good news? The gospel. The gospel is the good news, the gospel of Christ. And He says, "Preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." However, our faith goes beyond belief. I mean, we can believe in God and His Son Jesus and never act upon that belief in faith. James, the half-brother of Jesus, in James chapter 2, verse 19 said, "You believe there's one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Again, although we cannot be saved without believing in God and His Son Jesus, our belief does not save us without faith, all right? It does not save us without faith. That's why Paul writes to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through what? Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works that anyone can boast." And so Paul said that we are saved by grace through faith. And faith is what leads us to accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, since I believe and teach that one must be baptized into Christ in order to receive the forgiveness of sins, I mean, that is what Acts 2:38 and Acts 22, verse 16 says, I have had some people ask me over the years, "So, preacher, are you saying that you don't believe in faith alone?" And what they mean by that is belief alone. So no, I do not believe in belief alone. Again, demons believe and are destined for hell. They're believers, but they're not going to go to heaven. But I do believe in faith alone if we understand what faith does. That it comes by hearing God's Word and leads to belief in God and His Son Jesus, which in turn prompts our repentance and baptism and a life of obedience to God. In fact, did you realize that the very day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ in baptism was in response to your faith? I want you to, we're in Ephesians. I want us to go to the book before Ephesians, the book of Galatians. And I want us to go to Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verses 26 and 27. That our response in baptism was as a response to faith. It's not a work. You know, it's not a work. It's an act of faith. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Galatian church. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following, he says, "You are sons or children of God through what? Through faith. You are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Colossians 3, verse 12 says the very same thing. And so you cannot take faith from baptism. My response, your response of faith is when we repented of our sins and gave our lives to Jesus Christ in baptism. Amen? That's what we did. Okay, let's switch gears just a bit. Now we know that we are saved through an obedient faith. But what is it? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is being sure of or confident of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see." I mean, faith is putting our hope in God and His promises and acting upon that hope even though we cannot see it. And again, Paul tells us that the way that we acquire faith is by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. But again, faith is not believing the Word of God. It is acting on that belief. Our faith is active. There is no such thing as a passive faith. After the Hebrew writer described what faith is, he then gave example after example of faith in action by God's people, some whose faith had even led to their deaths. I mean, read Hebrews 11 on your own, okay? Read it for yourselves. And just read people of God just acting upon their faith. And their faith was demonstrated by what they did, not by what they believed. You can't believe. I want you to get this straight. Get this straight here. You can believe and do nothing. You can believe and do nothing, but you cannot have faith and do nothing. Tony Evans, the renowned author and preacher, describes faith this way. He says, "Faith is when you act like God is telling the truth." I like that. Faith comes by hearing the truth of God's Word and then acting on that truth by initially giving our lives to Christ in baptism and then obediently living by God's truth even when it's not popular or pleasurable. Or even when it brings suffering and heartache. I mean, this is the shield of faith that we are to take up to fend off Satan's attacks. So now I want us to take a look then at the shield of faith. Now remember, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, to men and women of faith who have already heard the Word of God, have already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 19, and are living for God. But Paul wants them and all Christians to understand that we are the very ones that Satan targets and hopes to weaken our faith and calls us to turn away from God. Therefore, Paul commands us to take up the shield of faith. Now, up until now, Paul's description of the armor of God has been limited to items that we wear. I mean, Paul told us to put on. Okay, let's bring up that slide here. He tells us to put on. Say this with me. Put on. One more time. Put on. Paul tells us to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the footwear of the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And you may recall, I think it was probably when we were talking about taking up the belt of truth, putting on the belt of truth, that you may recall that the verb tense of the word put on, it's one word in the Greek, basically means to put it on and keep it on. It is always needed, okay? It is always needed. Bring up that slide, Marilyn, please. It is always needed. Is it going to come? Okay, imagine that the words always needed came up under put on. There we go. See, you imagine and it happens, okay? So again, when Paul says put on, you know, the belt, the breastplate, the footwear, he is saying that these items of the armor are always needed. At all times, a Christian is to commit to truth, to live in righteousness, and to stand firm in the gospel of peace. These are not to be put on for Sunday worship and take it off on Monday when you go to work or go to school. We are to wear these at all times and in all situations. Again, I want you to imagine a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier puts on his belt, breastplate, and shoes. They never come off. I mean, even while he's out there in the middle of the battle, and then there's a lull in the battle, and it gives the soldier some time to just kind of step back a little bit, and gives him a breather, you know, and he can rest up. That armor stays intact. But now Paul uses a different verbiage when he tells Christians to take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. He tells us to take up. Say that with me. Take up. And again, now, obviously, when he talks about the verb tense of the word take up, it means to use as needed. That's what it means. This is a different verbiage. It means to use as needed. Now, obviously, the Christians are to continually walk in faith. I mean, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, that we live, present tense, that we live in faith, not by sight. But even as a Roman soldier carried his round Parma shield with him daily, we are to daily walk in faith. But what Paul is referring to here when he writes, take up the shield of faith, are the times when our faith is specifically under attack by the evil one. Now, when Roman soldiers were marching to the battleground, they would carry their shields, their shields to their side, since they were not under attack. But as soon as an enemy began attacking, they took up their shields to protect themselves. And although we as Christians live by faith daily, that we live by faith, we are not always being attacked by the evil one. Not always. I mean, do you feel that you are being attacked by Satan at this very moment? No, man. We're surrounded with our church family, with fellow Christians, you know, worshiping and praising God and hearing God's word proclaimed. Man, we're pretty cool. Man, we're chill, you know. Everything's going okay. But God knows that the devil is always on the prowl. He's always on the prowl looking for the right moment when we are most vulnerable, and then he strikes. And that's why our Heavenly Father has provided for every Christian His shield of faith, the battle shield, to be taken up during those moments of weakness when Satan attacks. And Paul tells us the reason why. He says here the reason is because we are to take up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, it was a common tactic of war in ancient times to slow or stop an army from advancing by shooting hundreds of flaming arrows at the soldiers. And I believe the purpose of the flaming arrows of the evil one is to distract us from advancing in our faith. That's what those flaming arrows are for. He doesn't want us to advance. He doesn't want us to grow in our faith. I mean, Satan wants us to remain weak and vulnerable and unable to make any impact for God. And if he can keep on, you know, keep us distracted with putting out fires in our personal life and in our home life and our church life and our work life, then he knows that it's only a matter of time that we're going to give up and retreat. I mean, Satan will use anything in his arsenal to destroy our faith. Anything in his arsenal. He uses our desires, our God-given desires against us. I mean, he's always, you know, bringing temptation before us and hope that we will just, you know, take the bait and commit sins against God. He brings discouragement because he wants us to give up. To give up on God, to give up on our faith. He wants us to doubt, to question our faith, to question our forgiveness, to question, you know, our salvation. He causes disagreements. Disagreements among family members and church members and people you work with, because he's constantly trying to destroy relationships because he does not want us to have any kind of influence on people for Christ. He uses distress to create anxiety and worry. And Jesus tells us that worry just chokes us out. It just chokes us. And then he also uses difficulties. Read the book of Job. Read the book of Job. He uses problems and hardships and all these things that we face in life. And he uses those things against us. And all of these are his flaming arrows that Satan shoots at us and hopes to bring us down, to destroy our faith. So have you ever been shot at by the devil? How many of you have ever been shot at by the devil? Will you raise your hand? Okay. All right. I think every hand should go up. I mean, when those flaming arrows of evil come and, you know, come launching our way, that's when we take up the shield of faith. Again, the Roman soldier's battle shield was designed in such a way that he could completely shield his entire body behind it. But not only that, the entire battalion could move closer together to create a turtle-like formation. There is actually a word that is used that I cannot pronounce, which means tortoise, okay? It means tortoise. It's a tortoise formation to protect each other from the flaming arrows of the enemy. Church, our faith is the strongest against the devil's attacks when we rally behind each other. When we surround ourselves with people of faith. This one. This Friday, July 29th, will mark a year since Brenda and I lost our son, Stephen, to COVID. Uh, 36 years old. This photo of Stephen with his namesake, his great-nephew, Gideon Christopher. I had his picture up last week with his daddy's police boots. And it has been a tough year. I guess especially for me. And dealing with his loss. I mean, Stephen and I were just so close. We were so close. And I just miss being with him. But I would not have made it through this year if it wasn't for my faith. For my faith in God and faith in His promise that because my son gave his life to Jesus long ago, that he's now with Him in paradise. I know that. I believe that. I have faith in that. But also, the faith of my physical family, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, and my church family, you. Just this morning, Susan Richardson comes to my office and just, you know, and Susan, of course, just lost her son, Josh, 26 years old, back in December. And she just comes to my office and she just puts her arms around me and just said, I'm here for you. Because she knew it was getting close to the year, Mark. And just to let me know that she loves me, she cares for me, and that's what I'm talking about here. Because you have kept me strong. During those low moments when I was just, confession, I was just angry with God. And I questioned Him as to why He would let my boy die. Because, man, you wouldn't believe how much I prayed for him constantly. Those days he was in the hospital. And yet you have surrounded me with your faith when mine was weak. Through your fervent prayers, through your words of encouragement, through those strong, big hugs, through those acts of love. You know, it's during times like this when our faith is weak, when we are most vulnerable to Satan's attacks, that we should be able to, you know, call on our brothers and sisters to latch our faith together, to form an impenetrable shield to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We are stronger together. Say that with me. We are stronger together. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. To be there for each other. To help each other during those difficult times. And so my question for you is simple as today is, have you been under attack by the devil? You know, we know, really daily, we are under attack by Satan in some way or another. And I know those times are so difficult. And yet it is our faith that keeps us through it all. It is our faith that keeps us strong. It is our faith when we lift up that shield of faith, because when those attacks come, that's when that shield goes up. And did you notice that Paul said that it will extinguish all the darts, flaming arrows of the evil one? He uses the word all. I mean, even those attacks come and they hurt and we're wounded, we are still protected and still strong and standing strong against what the devil is trying to do for us. He is trying to destroy us. And yet we have that faith that keeps us strong through it all, no matter what. And it's that faith that we desperately need, especially the faith of each other. We're going to be singing an invitation song. And during this invitation song, it's just an opportunity for you to look at your own life, maybe your own faith. Maybe you are going through some very difficult time right now and Satan is just, just firing those flaming arrows at you. And you've got that shield up. And yet those arrows come and they begin to extinguish those arrows. And yet what you also need, you need your family. You need your people to surround you with love and care and concern and prayer. And so we are here for you today to pray with you, to strengthen you, to just to help you with whatever that need might be. Whatever that need might be. Maybe you're just really struggling right now in your faith. Because you see, when those arrows come, Satan wants to weaken our faith. He wants to weaken our faith. And yet we realize that, no, I've got the shield of faith protecting me through it all. But we are here as a family to come together, to latch our faith together in prayer. And if we can help you, if we can pray for you, we want you to come. That's together we stand and we sing.